possible, given the size of the group, that we could go around and say who we are?
Let's start.
Oh, okay. My name is Jackie Levitt, and what else did I want to know about anybody else? I teach at UCLA, and I'll be talking later, so I won't say very much.
My name is Chan Tran, and I teach at Scripps College. I'm an artist.
My name's Walt Sinderfit, and I'm an activist and organizer, and mostly in the context of HIV and AIDS.
My name is Gregory Mattson. I'm an anthropologist and student activist at Cal State.
My name is Tim Iveson, and I'm a volunteer at LACE.
My name is Ava Bromberg. I'm a student at UCLA, and I'm most obsessed with opening up spaces for social transformation, transforming social relations.
My name is Sandra De La Loza. I'm a Chicano Studies professor at three different universities around Southern California. I teach Chicano art and culture, popular culture, as well as photography. And I'm a I'm a founder of the Bocho Research Society, in which we create our own plaques of erased history and insert them in public space.
Hello, my name is Joy Anderson, and I'm curating an exhibition at the Southern California Library relating to housing.
My name is Maria Carlson, and I'm artist, and I'm also working at the moment with how like different kind of bodywork and direct touch can be involved in like action and conscious rising, and whatever.
My name is Ben Tomris. I'm an artist and activist.
My name is Knut. I am from Berlin. And I am a social worker.
My name is Susanne Lang, and I'll also present something later, so I'm not going to tell you much yet.
My name is Finley. I'm an artist and volunteer at LACE.
My name's Christina, and I'm a graphic designer and maybe an artist sometimes.
My name is Jimena, and I'm I do body work, and I'm a metalsmith.
My name is James Sang, and I'm a performance artist.
My name's Emily Royston. I am a member of LTTR, which is a feminist queer organizing artist group. I'm a colleague of Don's at UCLA at this point.
I'm Carol McDowell. I'm a interdisciplinary artist and a dancer, and I used to curate at Crazy Space. I'm writing my PhD on this topic.
I'm David Thorne, artist living in Los Angeles and New York at the moment, teaching budding emerging artists at the Cooper Union.
I'm Kelly Sheffer. I'm a community educator for FSS Project Tech at the Tom Bradley Center.
I'm Sharon Daniel. I'm a professor at the University of California in Santa Cruz, and I teach in film and digital media, and my work involves using and exploiting and developing technologies in efforts towards social inclusion and social justice, and I don't want to call myself an activist after what you said, but I've never been able to call myself an organizer. So that's a question I'm really interested in pursuing today.
I'm Carol Stakinas, director here at LACE.
I'm Serena Sansukskin. I'm here from Thailand to visit my friend Helen, and I teach at university in Thailand.
I'm Helen Sanamatsu. I'm a communications designer here in Los Angeles. I'm primarily interested in pedagogy, but I also happen to teach a lot at Art Center.
I'm Jan Ryan, and I'm a proud mother and an interest observer.
I'm Carl Erickson. I'm an artist and the program coordinator here at LACE.
I'm Katie Robinson, and I work here at LACE, and I've also had the pleasure to do a little bit of work with Walt and Daunt and Eddie with the newly formed ACT UP chapter.
Okay. My name is Pedro Soto. I'm an artist. I'm recently involved in movements about human rights and about HIV movements.
Hi, my name is Ming, and what else are we supposed to say? Sorry, I was outside. What I want to say? I'm a media artist. I teach at the Claremont Colleges, and I'm here with a couple of students.
And I am Alex Smith. I'm a media studies major, and I'm one of Ming's students.
I'm Sarah, I'm an artist, and I'm also an intern here at LACE.
My name is Ashley Hunt. I'm an artist and I an activist, and I do a lot of work around the prison system and work with critical resistance around that mostly. And I teach part-time at UC Irvine.
Hi, I'm Eddie Peel. I'm an artist and a member of Ultra Red.
Anyone else? Okay, then we have time for questions and answers.
Yeah, I was wondering, this isn't directed at anyone in particular, but if you might be able to talk about the idea of a militant sound intervention and this kind of military metaphor and how that has been interpreted or how you interpret that in your work, because it seems like a dominant metaphor in the culture at large as well, the war on X.
And Y and Z. Manuela, would you like to respond to that?
Now, yes, I can try. The term militant sound investigation occurred to me while we were doing our collaboration in Serbia, and this was because I think my political and theoretical background owes very much to the strand of autonomous Marxism, which is quite famous for the organizing processes in the 60s, 70s, and until today, which is called post-operaism, and became very famous through the book of Antonio Negri and Michael Hart, Empire, that you might have heard of. But it goes back to the 50s and 60s in Italy, where a group of people around a journal who were all, most of them coming from universities, started to do investigations into factories and into lives of workers. And it was actually in opposition to what the classical organized institutions of the working class were, that is, trade unions and parties. And what they were interested in was how can you understand resistance at the moment, and how can you understand it by looking at how workers talk about it. So what they did was, one thing was not to try to, what usually sociological research does is to raise data and then verify or falsify things, but actually to use the interviews for a certain form of organizing. That means to engage into the process, work with the people, ask them. And one of the interesting things was that they also, by doing so, completely transformed the idea of what resistance is.
And this was not necessarily to be a form of organizing, engaging into the trade unions, being part or member of a party, but trying to understand that with, for example, staying away from job or means of sabotage that is, for example, destroying a couple of things within the factory or the assembly line, that this was a certain mean of resistance. And to a certain degree, they were right, because all these investigations took place before the big labor strikes in the Fiat factory and all around Italy took place. And this is actually one of the interesting things that I have, or we have found out, was that throughout migration, these concepts have been introduced, for example, to Germany, where the German left has been picking up exactly on these concepts and doing what was called at that time multinational factory work, which had the same idea of in this kind of investigation. So this is more or less the legacy of the term. Militant investigation is the term, and doing these collaborations with UltraRed or within UltraRed, the idea was to use sound as a mean to, in a certain form, conduct and gain different sorts of material, and use this material for organizing, for engaging into the very process. As Daunt has said before, bringing these sounds, these interviews, these sounds of struggles, these sounds of everyday life, again, back to those people. And I think what I have learned from Leonardo and Elizabeth when they came first time to Germany was that actually when they have been doing their project with UltraRed in Southeast LA was actually how this sound things have helped to organize the community. And maybe you can talk about it. And maybe this is a very good example of how militant sound investigation can look like.
No, for me, the other thing is, in my tradition of becoming an organizer, I was very involved in the peace movement. So I always deal with the reaction to the militant question. But the origin of the words in the military, and so there is no separation from it. But if we understand the context that we're at war, and you can understand the importance for us to organize ourselves and to be focused on what we're trying to deal with, I think the notion of militancy makes sense to me. I still deal with the abstraction of whether, you know, it's a war language or anything, but we are at war. There's a war on the poor. There's a war where the immigrants or the youth or... there's a whole sectors of community that are not needed to be either consumers or producers or anything. So you have to be organized. You have to be focused. You have to have strategies to engage the world that surrounds you to change it. And for me, the issue of militancia, which in Spanish for me is more detached from military standards. I mean, militancia means that you're part of something that is active in making change. So when you're a militant, you're out there doing something. Now, when I was talking very early on, we were talking about this whole thing, when Don was talking about activism and organizing, The problem that I have with the activists, I'm an activist in other contexts. When I went to Europe to deal with an attack, I was an activist within the context, but I always go back to my base, to the community where I come from. But to me, you cannot be a militant if you're not connected to a context from which you're militating from. But again, in Spanish, it's like so detached, and I think we'd imagine within the party politics, it's like so detached from this military notion at this point in history. That I don't deal with that. Within the United States, with the peace movement, in all this, in this context of this war, those things come back. But I think it's also, these are also mechanisms to neutralize those of us who are militant about this war against the poor or against those who are marginalized. So I'd rather ignore it than completely try to explain it away. But I think it's very important that we understand that we have to be focused, organized, and targeting.
I just just wanted to also respond to that question that you asked, because I had a reaction to it in my own way, which is, I'd say, different than what you just said. But I have personally been interested. I'm starting this new project called TNT, but it's about the nation and the theater. And I'm always really interested in how it's called, like, not only are we on the, at the war on X, Y, and Z, but also the war is, it's the theater of war, and how that sort of aesthetic vocabulary and the history of the theater is transposed then into this sort of militancy or into actual war lingo. So I sort of went there with the whole idea, but I'm always really interested in that too.
Hi, this also sort of relates to Manuela's work. With obviously the current protest against new rules of legislation, it makes me think a lot about issues of nationality, nationalism, and citizenship. And I guess as a social scientist, I'm thinking about it historically, and people like Benedict Anderson, who talked about how our current concepts of nation-state are actually very recent, you know, in the last few hundred years, and the way we understood, the way people understood nationality and who they were was very different prior to this. And now it's developed this logic where people cannot it's so hard for people to think beyond the sense of, you know, of course Germans belong in Germany, and of course Mexicans belong in Mexico, and of course United States citizens belong in the United States. And, you know, people who are resisting this kind of, this anti-immigrant sentiment, you know, they cannot remove themselves from the relation of power they're existing within. So certain people react like, well, maybe we need to actually question citizenship and so forth. But I see really a very small percentage of people who are interested in actually doing that. And really they exist primarily on the far left from anarchist and communist perspectives. And then other people, you know, just say, you know, of course, you know, we just can make this need to be a Euro-American place. And other people say, well, no, this, the whole Southwest America, this is Aslan. And European people need to go and they belong back in Europe and indigenous people belong here. So I guess I'm questioning how artists and activists and organizers are problematizing the concept of citizenship and what ways we can question the way people commonly conceptualize nation, citizenship, and our relationship to states, and how citizenship has been used to sort of manipulate that, you know, this type of body, this color of body, this sort of person belongs in this region, and because you're born here, that's where you're supposed to be, that's where you belong, and so forth.
Well, I think we'll come from different angles here with Manuela, but I'm an immigrant, and I still refuse to get citizenship, and it just doesn't make sense for all sorts of reasons. But when we went to Europe to talk to do all these conversations, one of the things that I was very intrigued by was this whole notion of legalization. Because coming from Los Angeles, where most of the hotel workers are immigrants and are struggling for better wages as hotel workers, where 65% of people are tenants, and most of them are immigrants, struggling to have better housing and organizing as tenants to have better housing, and where most of the janitors are immigrants and organized to have better wages within this. The struggle of immigrants to have papers is a secondary thing. And actually, the interesting thing on the marches this year, I mean, is that there is not really immigrant rights movement. The people who are at the head of this movement are like very small and very disorganized. Why? Because immigrants are organized through the everyday struggles. So I think for me, coming from that kind of perspective, that kind of struggle is secondary. The whole issue of nationhood is secondary. And when it appears in our community is when people are talking about how to make tamales. The Salvadorans don't like Mexican tamales, and the Mexicans don't like Salvadoran tamales. And it's a big battle. But really, when you look at it, it's really not a question of nationhood, but I mean, we can trust it, oh, the Salvadoran tamales. But those are kind of, that's sort of kind of like cultural questions now. And more recently, it's appearing now in terms of the flags with the immigrant rights movement, because Mexicans are pulling out the flags. I think we're the most nationalist of all the whole sector. But to me, secondary, really, given the, it's transforming the immigrant rights struggle with the United States, with Los Angeles specifically, it's transforming those kinds of questions. As Manuela said, I mean, people are coming and going every day without asking that question, without worrying about that. And a lot of people cross the border illegally saying that they're citizens all the time. My wife did it long time ago when she didn't have papers. They asked her, well, are you a citizen? And she said, yes. And they asked her, do you know how many bars the flag has? And she says, I don't know. And they let her go through. Immediately at that second that she said, I don't know. So for me, secondary, really. And it's diffusing itself within the immigrant rights movement. It's disappearing because we're about better housing, better jobs, having health, education, and other sorts of services, and being allowed to be with our families all the time.
This is another question for Leonardo, but just wondering, in terms of applying your construct or the about like organizer versus activist, and some of the things you said about organizer, how do you think about communities that are not primarily geographically defined in that context, or among people, for example, who identify with communities that are quite differently defined, such as I may be an African American resident of South LA, but I'm also perhaps alienated as well as a part of that community because I identify as a part of African American gay men who are scattered across the area, and much of my activity and identity is there, or as a community of people living with HIV/AIDS, which includes many other communities. In the context of like identification, insertion, accountability, and so forth.
Shall I try an answer?
Oh.
I'm very tempted to, because I think that a couple of issues could be brought together, and that is when Don did his introduction talking about UltraRed and saying that it was a meeting place. I must say that I'm not really satisfied by this, but I think it's approaching somewhere where I would like to go. And that is the idea that maybe we have to think of organizing and think of certain forms of the political which doesn't have one clear site or one clear community. And this is something that I think we have learned through a long time history of critique of certain forms of organizing that were related to communities, related to parties, related to trade unions, related to set up organizations that surely, and I think what Elizabeth has done at the beginning and putting up all these points, it was very interesting when you put the community thing one of the things that communities also always mean is like constraints for the people who are part of the community. And fear of being different, for example. The identity check that goes within, the moral imposition, do you say so? I don't know. Imposition on people, part of a community. And I think that when you asked your question, I thought, yeah, but what you are talking about actually is about migration. So what can we learn from migration? From migration, we can learn that there are people who don't really know each other. They don't relate to each other. They are just doing one thing. They migrate. And by doing so, they oppose things that, from a certain perspective, we would agree to. They claim for a better life. They claim they access freedom in a way. They organize their lives. They build up networks to organize migration. No one comes starts in Los Angeles and thinks, I'm a single individual and I'm going to move to Canada, to Mexico, somewhere. But you always engage into networks to do so. And this is a certain form of organizing, and migration certainly is not what previously has been called the people or a nation. That was the base for a lot of liberation movements. Or it's also not a stabilized political group, like the party, that has also been a base for organizing in left-wing history. But it is something else. And I think this something else is very interesting for us to understand how we have to maybe think of in a different way of how the political can work. This might be very abstract, but it's taking place concretely every day. And then we don't have to think of the political, for example, which was, I think, in my perspective, always a wrong way of the left to think that people have to have consciousness. They have to understand that once they understand, they will change their lives. We have to bring consciousness to the workers. We have to bring consciousness to the migrants. They have to know about their rights and all of this. No, it's the other way around. Those people usually access their rights. They do it. It's a practice that goes on every day, and we have to understand it. And then, of course, it is true that there is still something lacking. And that is that there must be a certain form of organizing that comes out of it. And this is, I think, something that we have to develop new concepts of. But it will not work over the idea of changing the idea of people, that they have to do it by consciousness, with their intentions and all of this. But we have to understand that the movements that are going on, that these movements are critical as such. And from there, I think we can learn a lot about how we could change the idea of organizing without creating identities, communities. I mean, the community thing, sorry, just one little sentence at the end. The community thing, for example, is something completely strange to the European context. We don't organize in communities. The term that we would use is movement. Community is really something that comes from the US.
I think yes. what I'd like to
or
do...
Or from, I don't know, definitely not in Europe.
Manuela, yes. And Ming. What I would like to do at this point is sort of intervene, because the lunch is prepared, correct? I'd need to make three announcements before the lunch. Now, the lunch will go from now until the same time, like 2:10. What is it now? 1:10, we go to 2:10. At 2:10, we will come back, and we will continue this discussion because this is why we are here today. So Manuela says, I am now a member of Ultra Red. Leonardo says, I am now a member of Ultra Red. Elizabeth says, you are all now members of Ultra Red. So the three announcements are this. I handle two announcements. I believe Bridget handles the third announcement. First announcement is that the lunch is for you. If you wish to make a contribution to help support the lunch, I will tell you, we are friends here, we are very upfront, and we are honest with each other. The lunch is $7. If you have $7, put it in the box, thank you. If you don't, eat, enjoy. Lace, being here in this place, the requested amount for visitors is $3. If you have $3, if you have $7, this is $10. You make a donation, we are very happy. If you do not have $10, it is okay. You eat, you are here, you enjoy.
If you don't have change, leave the $20 bill.
Yes, leave the $20 bill. The second announcement is all of those people who have been invited here specifically as respondents, I'm going to ask you to hold off from lunch and meet me here quickly, okay? All right? I know it's painful, it's brutal. This is what you sacrifice by being a respondent. And then third announcement, I believe Bridget needs to come forward to make third announcement. Oh.
I just wanted to take a quick moment to wish a happy birthday to Lacey's executive producer, Elizabeth Hunt, who just turned
Fantastic. Let us eat lunch.